Hey, what's up? This is Josh from JusticeGeeks.com, and this is a Just Us Geeks interview.
So, thanks, man.
Yeah, man, not a problem. So tell me about your background.
Well, I'm an only child, so, you know, movies and books were my brother and sister. And ever since I was, you know, very little, at least since I can remember from, like, 5 years old on, I've always wanted to be a filmmaker and always wanted, you know, do that, whatever I saw on the screen. Whatever I read on the page, I wanted to be a part of that, even though I had no idea how to go about doing it. So, it's always just been a life goal of mine. And, I taught myself how to write scripts and novels, and I did that all through, you know, 8th grade onward. And as soon as I graduated film school, which it was sort of on the fence of doing, because I think film is something you learn by doing instead of just sitting in the classroom and learning terms. But I did the film school because the parents wanted me to do that. So I did the film school, and as soon as I graduated with an associate's degree, which, you know, pretty much amounts to nothing out here in the film business, but, it's something for the parents. As soon as that was over, I made my first movie and, you know, published my first book. And, you know, from then on, I haven't looked back. It's been my driving force, you know, to become a part of this this world that I find so magical. And there's times that I really don't even like dealing with, you know, real life problems like paying bills and doing dishes and taking out the trash, because I love movies so much. And it's become so integrated into my life. That that's pretty much all I do. I have no hobbies. My work is my hobby, you know? That's the best answer I got.
So, that's a pretty good answer. you started out just right after college. I've talked to a lot of people who, you know, who very much like you, who have always felt the desire to do film from an early age. I guess folks about our age feel that way, which is really cool, you know. I very rarely have seen anyone who not only has the desire to do film, but to write. I mean, you know, those are very similar, but yet two totally different areas. You know, a lot of directors I've spoken with want nothing to do with that side of the process. It's really interesting to find someone who, you know, loves both sides.
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, you know, my father passed away when I was young, so I never really got to know him. And around the time that I discovered that I really liked writing and how much of a wonderful escape it was, I found out that he was a writer too. So I take that as kind of a badge of honor. Like, he left that, you know, gift, or at least that love for me. And especially as an independent filmmaker, if you don't write, then you have nothing to direct.
And
you can't count on somebody else to write it. Because, you know, it won't be exactly what you want, and you want to tweak it, and then it's just a hassle. And I know a lot of director friends of mine who don't write, but I can't see myself being connected to something that I didn't write, that I didn't, you know, that it wasn't 100% from my heart, you know? And so that's why I do both. I want to be able to, you know, control the reality as much as possible.
Well, I think... You know, there are a lot of mainstream directors who did start in the writer's room, and then I guess sort of grew out of it as they achieved some form of success or another. I think probably Chris Columbus is one of the best examples I can use. I mean, you know, had it not been by chance of a secretary of Steven Spielberg's handing him the script for Gremlins, you know, he certainly wouldn't have gone on to do what he did. But you know, are you planning to, you know, right now, if you're just looking at yourself in 10 years, are you still planning to do your process that exact same way, or do you hope that maybe it can grow and change into something else?
You know, I don't know. Excuse me, I'm fighting a cold. I think you know, everything specific creating and, you know, being, you know, artistic, for lack of a better word, is organic. At least I'd like it to feel that way. I'd like it to be that way. And so for me, ever since I started writing, I've never changed the way I write. I write fairly fast. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of writers that do that. I know John Hughes was another really fast writer. I had a meeting at some studio, and I told them how fast I wrote the script, and they go, "Wow, there's only one other guy that we know could write that fast, and that was John Hughes."
Wow!
And that blew my mind. I'm like, "Wow, that's great to be you know, associated with him." And that's again a big idol of mine. So, in terms of will my process change, I don't know. I don't think it will, because I'm kind of comfortable in my groove, and obviously, you know, things change when you have, you know, when it's not 100%, you know, your material, and you have, you know, producers coming in giving you notes, and, you know, your schedule is either tight or you have a really long schedule to work with. You know, those are variables you can't control, but in terms of my, you know, the style of writing, I think that's something that, you know, a writer adapts very early. And once they're comfortable in it, I mean, those are the writers that write every day. And that's, you know, that's me when I'm not, you know, producing a movie and kind of dealing with, like, film stuff. I try to write every day, and that's because I love it, and you get addicted to it, you know?
Right. The first thing that you wrote that was published was The Harbinger, a horror thriller. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I published it. It was a small publishing house, and the book arrived in the mail the day that I graduated film school. So I kind of took that as a weird kind of a weird sign that, you know, things are going to be moving forward. You know, unfortunately, the publisher didn't do a lot of publicity, and the book got lost, and it didn't really do a lot of sales. And, you know, it just kind of, you know, faded into obscurity, which happens a lot because there's so much material out there that it's tough for anything to kind of rise above the heap, you know, without, like, major publicity. So yeah, Harbinger was, you know, I wrote it in high school. I wrote it when I was 17. And it's, you know, it's about a guy who dies, and he's brought back as a kind of zombie-like henchman for the devil, and he's compelled to kill these people with a 666 burned into their heads, and he's aided by a talking dog that kind of leads the way, but you know, secretly might not be playing on his team. So yeah, it's a real wacky kind of, you know, it's kind of, it almost feels like an early, almost meta version of John Dies at the End. You know, that kind of,
okay,
like, bizarreness to it. But yeah, you know, it's something that hopefully one day when I've built up more of a name, I'll be able to re-release the book, and, you know, people can discover it again.
Your first feature film was The Monster Man. your bio says it was modestly low budget. What does that mean?
you know, I'll tell you why. Because it cost me, that one cost me $14,000.
That's not too bad. Well, I mean,
yeah, you know,
I guess it is right out of college.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it really, you know, we shot it on DV. It was basically me and my friends, and I just wanted to see if I could shoot a movie. And it kind of just started off as kind of a lark at first, and then it became, you know, a big project. And then we hired actors on, and then it became like a real thing. So I was happy about that. And it's, you know, to this day, it's the number one favorite film experience I've ever had so far.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, it was pure creation. It was just me and my friends having fun, and, you know, we got to tell a fun little end of the world spoof kind of movie. You know, kind of like Last Man on Earth meets Airplane. That's kind of what we were going for. But yeah, I had such a great time with that, and that definitely sealed the deal as to what my life goal would be.
Then you kind of got yourself hooked up with the folks at Asylum Entertainment. I talked to Thunder 11 not too terribly long ago.
Cool.
And he was a really cool guy, and told me a little bit about his story in Sharknado, of course, which took the world by storm in 2013, a storm of sharks.
Yes.
So tell me how you got involved with the Asylum.
Excuse me. Well, they distributed my second movie, which is called Corpses Are Forever, and that was a James Bond meet zombies kind of mashup. And so they put that out, I want to say 2002, something like that. And from then until 2007, I sort of I was taking stock of what I wanted to do and what my career was. I was living at Miami, in Miami at the time. And, I was trying to get some movies off the ground, but nothing was really taking off. So my wife and I decided to move out here to L.A., and as soon as I got here, the only, the real film people I knew was The Asylum. So I knocked on their door. I met with David Latt, and, they opened the house to me, and they said, yeah, let's see if we can put you to work. And, I'm very thankful that they did. It's hard to get film work out here. So it's definitely something that I'm grateful for,
Yeah. We'll talk about Sharkano in a minute. Tell me about The Haunting of Whaley House. That is very interesting to me.
The Haunting of Whaley House was my third film, and it was finally my chance to direct something for Asylum. And, my goal was, it's no secret that Asylum sort of has a reputation. So, I wanted to do something that sort of stood outside the box, and, it wasn't the typical kind of film experience, for an Asylum movie. So, we ended up shooting in Long Beach because we couldn't get the actual Whaley House. But we actually found an even better house out in Long Beach. It looked more cinematic. And, sort of semi-real-time contained haunted house movie. It's about one of the tour guides of the Whaley House sneaks her bunch of friends in after hours. And, of course, the ghosts don't like that. So, there's a lot of running and screaming and good things like that. Yeah.
Cool. So Sharkano obviously is, you've written seven films for Asylum. And Sharkano, the novel is the first novel of the Sharkpocalypse trilogy.
Yeah.
tell me about everything that is Sharkano.
Well, Sharkano came about because I was hired by Asylum to write Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark, which will be coming out on the 28th. 27th of this month of January, 28th. And while I was working on that, Sharknado had hit, and it was, going crazy all over in Comic-Con and everything. And, I was talking to a publisher, Curiosity Quills Publishing. I love those guys. And, I said, well, maybe a Sharknado novel or maybe a spin-off novel. And they were interested in that, but Asylum didn't really seem to be interested in it, and they never got back to me. So then I said, well, let's make our own. What about Sharkano? So in essence, I mockbusted the company that mockbusts other companies. And I did it in novel form. And the idea was, take something like Sharknado or a Mega Shark movie or any kind of shark sci-fi epic kind of horror thriller, and blow it up to Jerry Bruckheimer, Michael Bay proportions, Because in a novel, you can go balls to the wall, you can do anything. You got the biggest set pieces, the most deaths, and the best part is you can actually have character development and, enjoy the characters along with all the explosions and people's heads getting ripped off and good stuff like that. And so that's really what it turned out to be, just a fun, you know, just a fun exercise in, you know, in science fiction excess. And that's where it came about. You know, you got three super volcanoes start erupting. The world was in danger and bringing on the prophesized end times. But shit gets worse when sharks made of molten magma start erupting as well. And then it just becomes a, you know, just a crazy fun ride. And that's what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to deliver something that, you know, normally if you were watching in a movie, it wouldn't be up to, you know, it wouldn't be up to snuff, you know, either effects wise or, you know, budget wise or whatever. But in this case, it's all in your imagination. I give you the template and then I just want you to, you know, and enjoy it in your mind's eye. And I think that's the best kind of movie theater, you know, the imagination.
Right. You are currently working on A Magnificent Death from a Shattered Hand. Tell me a little bit about this project, because it seems very interesting. There are some interesting folks attached to this.
Yeah. You know, this one's been one of my longest running projects, just because it's so many moving pieces. But 5 years ago, gosh, maybe 6 years ago now five. I met Thomas Jane at Comic Con. And, you know, he was talking about scripts and he says, oh, you know, I read every script I get because you never know what you're going to find. So I found his company. I came home. I looked up his company online, you know, Raw Entertainment, Raw Studios. And, he had an email and it said Tom at Raw Studios or whatever. And I emailed him the script. I said, look, I wrote this really, really bleak, kind of badass spaghetti Western. I know you're a fan of Westerns because he is. I've heard him talk about it. And I'm just wondering if you wanted to take a look and maybe be interested in being a part of it. And 3 weeks later, I get an email from his assistant saying that Thomas wants to meet to discuss the script. And that was a huge shock, man. I mean, that knocked me off my feet. You know, met with Thomas. He liked the material. He, like with anything, There are changes that he saw, kind of character beats he wanted in there. And we've been in the process, you know, trying to get it off the ground for about 5 years now. And in that time, we've secured Nick Nolte, Jeremy Irons, and somebody else, but I don't think he's officially attached, so I can't say who that is. But we got Nick and Jeremy attached. And hopefully, we were supposed to go last year, but because of scheduling, because we have so many, you know, big players that are always working, it's hard to get everybody in the same space. But hopefully, it's looking good for this year. And I'm really excited for it, because it's just going to be a really badass, violent, you know, old-fashioned Sergio Leone Western. Fingers crossed that, you know, the stars align this year for that.
Right. Well, Jose, we look forward to all of this great fun stuff that you have coming out. It seems like it's going to be an incredibly fun ride on all levels.
I hope so, man. I'm here to entertain. I want people to have a good time. Sharkano's a blast to read. You know, it's 400 pages, but it flies by and it's a good ride. And I just want to give people a good time and. Hopefully they'll stick around for the other two books.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, man. We look forward to it.
Hi, thank you.
This has been a Just Us Geeks interview.